Today we have a very interesting parable in Mark chapter 12, the first 12 verses. This parable is called the parable of the wicked tenants. And again, it's very powerful because the Lord, it says, addressed this to the chief priests, to the scribes, and to the elders, to the leadership in Israel, to the Jewish leaders. And the Lord uses parables because parables are illustrations or stories that make people think and reflect. So a parable is when you use an earthly image to teach a heavenly truth, to teach a theological truth. So this, again, is a very detailed parable about a man who planted the vineyard. Of course, the one who plants the vineyard is God. God is the owner of the vineyard. He's the one who plants the vineyard. The vineyard is Israel. In the Old Testament, Israel was always seen as the vineyard of God, His beloved vineyard that He cared so much for. And obviously, this man cares about this vineyard because he puts a lot of time and effort and money into it. He puts a hedge around the vineyard, and then he even digs out the wine press where they would all stomp the wine with their feet and get there and to press the grapes. And he would even build a tower as a watchtower that people could use to protect the vineyard. And this owner leased it to tenant farmers. So it wasn't a gift, it was leased to them. That these men were stewards, just as we're stewards of creation, we're stewards of our own bodies. We are stewards, and we have to render an account of our lives to God, of what we did with our stewardship. So he lends it to these tenant farmers, and then he goes on a journey. Well, when the proper time came, as was customary, he would send his servants to collect the proper share. Usually it was about 25% of the produce, either grapes or wine, probably wine in this case. And that's what was certainly very fair. He was the owner of the vineyard, so he would get a certain portion, maybe 25%. But what did these tenants do? It says they saw the servants coming. It says they seized him and beat him and sent him back. And they figured this would be a message to the landowner. This is what we're going to do when you send your servant to try to collect. So they beat him up and sent him back. Well, he sent another servant. Now, these servants represent all the prophets of Israel, all the Old Testament prophets. In fact, there's a neat list of prophets. And what happened to them, many of the prophets were persecuted by Jezebel. We have Elijah was persecuted. Elisha was persecuted. Zechariah was executed. Micaiah was thrown into prison. Uriah was killed. Jeremiah was thrown into a prison and then into a muddy cistern. John the Baptist was beheaded. So this list of prophets goes on and on of how they were treated. Some of them were beaten and some of them were killed. So the owner keeps sending other prophets, other servants to Israel. It says some they beat, others they killed. Well, it says finally he will send his son. It says his beloved son. This is how the Lord was referred to by God at the baptism of the Lord in the Jordan, at the transfiguration, as God's beloved son. So he says, surely they will respect my son. And so the son is sent, and just as Jesus is now sent. So they had all the prophets, Elijah and Elisha and Zechariah and Jeremiah. Now God sends his own son to Israel. And what do they do? Well, they know that he is the heir to all of this. And if they figured that, well, since the son arrived, the father must be dead, so all they have to do is kill the son, and then they get everything. They get the whole vineyard. And so they say, come, let us kill him, and the vineyard will be ours. Look at the greed. Look at the avarice. So it says they seized him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. So disrespectful. They wouldn't even give a proper burial for the Jews. That was so important, to have a proper burial, not just to be thrown outside the vineyard. But again, that's what happened to the Lord. He was taken outside the city of Jerusalem and crucified outside of the vineyard of Israel, outside the city of Jerusalem. So then the Lord asked, well, what's going to happen now? What will the owner of the vineyard now do? And the Lord tells us, it says he will come and put those tenants to death and give his vineyard to others. So he's referring here to the Gentiles, that he will now establish his church, Christianity, that he will establish a new covenant with his people. Have you not read in Scripture, the stone rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone? Jesus is the capstone, the cornerstone of the building. He was rejected largely by Israel, but now he is the foundation stone, the cornerstone upon which the new Jerusalem, the church, Christianity, the Catholic faith is being built. Well, it says when they heard this, they realized, Scripture says, that, and this is the chief priests, the scribes, and elders of the people, says they realized he had addressed this parable at them. It says, and because of that, they wanted to arrest him and eventually would bring about the Lord's death. So I think what we can learn from this parable is the Lord, you know, gave Israel many, many chances, sent many prophets, one after another. More and more prophets were sent. And then finally, he sends his beloved Son, Jesus. So what we should learn is not to reject the grace of God. If God gives us these graces, we have to say yes, we have to cooperate, and not keep rejecting these wonderful gifts and graces that the Lord wants to give us.